Good morning. Good morning and welcome to the Teller Tabernacle Live. Welcome to the Teller family and all our friends joining through Facebook and YouTube Live. We are streaming from Philadelphia, PA, where Elder Jonathan E. Ford is the pastor. Continue with your welcome in this section as you please. Also inform those in the sanctuary to exit at the end of the service by using the ramp door. Our scripture today is Psalms 121, a song of essence. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence come my help. My help comes from the Lord, who hath made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even furthermore. And now I will lead into the prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for allowing us to get here safely today. Dear Jesus, thank you for also allowing us to get through this year, through trials and tribulations. Thank you, Jesus, for working in me and working in things that I'm doing as well. Dear Jesus, continue to keep us steadfast in you. And Jesus, allow us to overcome any trials or tribulations that we may occur. Dear Jesus, thank you for always giving us grace and compassion and give us more gifts in loving and keeping your commandments. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing us to be here today. Allow us to hear the word. Allow us to utilize it in our life. Also, when things get tough, always remind us that you're there for us. Dear Jesus, continue to strengthen our gifts. Allow us to utilize everything that you gave us to our capacity and continue to bless us and keep us to next year as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Sister,
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a sanctuary, Lord, for you. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you.
Amen. Well, good morning and God bless you. Happy almost Christmas, I guess, as we're getting down to the wire. You have your Bibles. Let's turn our attention to the Word of God. This morning, we're going to be in the book of 1 Samuel. I'm going to invite you to turn there with me. 1 Samuel, the 7th chapter. That's where we're going to find our primary text this morning. 1 Samuel, the 7th chapter, and we're going to begin reading at the 2nd verse. Okay? I'm going to invite you, if you don't have a Bible, please get one just so you can see and follow along with the text here. Everybody in good shape? Okay, I'm going to begin reading at the 2nd verse, and I'm going to read all the way down to the conclusion. So it was that the ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim a long time. It was there for 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, "You return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord. And serve him only, he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines." So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroths and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, poured it out before the Lord, and they fasted that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord, and Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah." Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them as far as below Bethkar. And then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. And he called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron to Gath. And Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines. Also, there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year on a circuit, from Bethel to Gilgal and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. But he always returned to Ramah, for his home was there. And there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Amen. I just want to add a little context. Go back to chapter 4. Stay in 1 Samuel. Let's go back to chapter 4. And I'm just going to read a couple verses here, beginning at verse 1. It says, "Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and encamped beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines encamped at Aphek. Then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men of the army in the field. And when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, 'Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies.' And so the people went to Shiloh, that they might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, who dwells between the cherub and the cherubim. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. When the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. Now when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, 'What does the sound of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean?' Then they understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp. So the Philistines were afraid, for they said, 'God has come into the camp.' And they said, 'Woe to us, for such a thing has never happened before. Woe to us, who will deliver us from the hands of these mighty gods? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and conduct yourselves like men, you Philistines, that you do not become the servants of the Hebrews as they have been to you. Conduct yourselves like men and fight.' So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and every man fled to his tent, and there was a great slaughter, and there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. And also the Ark of God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died." Okay? So if you're not familiar with that text, I just wanted to read that so that chapter 7 makes sense. Before we get to chapter 7, Israel goes into battle against the Philistines and they lose. Even though they bring the Ark of the Covenant out to the battlefield, which symbolizes the presence of God, they lose. And not only do they lose, I didn't read the reading, but they capture the Ark of the Covenant. So not only do they lose their battle, great slaughter, 30,000 men dead, they also lose probably the greatest religious artifact in Hebrew history. They lose the Ark of the Covenant. Philistines capture it, take it away. Okay? So that's the back, that's what has happened before we get to chapter 7. Okay? Everybody good with that? All right, I'm going to get you off your feet. So I'm going to, if you give me 15, 20 minutes, what I want to talk about out of chapter 7, I want to use this subject, hopefully it's appropriate for the holidays, and that is Ebenezer is not a Scrooge. Okay? Ebenezer is not a Scrooge. Okay? You guys with me? Y'all gonna hang around for this or y'all checking out early? Where y'all at? Y'all, right? Ebenezer is not a Scrooge. Let's bow our hands. Father in heaven, we thank you for this is the day that the Lord has made. And we have set our heart to rejoice and be glad in it. And we're so grateful today that we are found in the house of God. So many other places we could be, so many other things we could be doing. But thank you that you have given us the heart, the mind, and the intent and will to be found in the house of God, gathered among the people of God, and with our attention given to the Word of God. And so, Heavenly Father, bless us. Bless us in the manner and the way which you see fit. For your care for us is far greater than the care for our own selves. And God, you can bless us like nobody else can. Thank you for keeping us another year. 25 has come and is almost gone. God, you have remained faithful unto us. Thank you for bringing us to the eve of another Christmas celebration where we honor and praise the coming of your Son into the earth realm, the form of baby Jesus. So even as Christ was born some 2,000 years ago, a little town of Bethlehem, may he also be born again. The hearts and in the souls of unbelievers everywhere. May they welcome Christ the King into their hearts and into their lives and into their family's dynamic so that the presence of the Lord would be with them both now and forever. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. We lift up and honor your word. Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. And above all, give us a heart to believe. Bless the people of God, those here gathered in the sanctuary, those that are joining us electronically. Let the word of God go forth with power and clarity and conviction is our prayer. And all of God's people said, amen, amen, amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. Ebenezer is not a Scrooge. At this time of year, I'm sure we're all familiar with the name Ebenezer Scrooge, but to kind of level set and put us all on the same page, Ebenezer Scrooge is a fictional character and the protagonist in Charles Dickens' 1843 novel, A Christmas Carol. Initially, a cold-hearted miser who despised Christmas, but receives redemption by visits from the ghost of Jacob Marley and the ghost of Christmas past, present, and yet to come. Ebenezer, he becomes a defining character in the tale of the Christmas holiday all throughout the English-speaking world. Okay, so there, a little background, Ebenezer Scrooge. And the phrase that he made famous in this novel, that you, if you've read it in the movie, if you've seen it, is "Bah humbug," right? Never thought you would hear that in a Christian sermon. "Bah humbug" is perhaps one of the most famous utterances to come forth from the mouth of Charles Dickens' character, Ebenezer Scrooge. It first appears in the novel when Scrooge's nephew, Fred, bursts into the counting house and shouts out in a cheerful voice, "Merry Christmas, Uncle! God save you." To which Ebenezer responds, "Bah humbug." Okay? So there it is. That's the setup, right? So now let's use that as kind of the backdrop, if you will, and now look at our text. It says, 1 Samuel 7, verse 2, it says, "So it was that the ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim a long time, and it was there for 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord." 20 years was the designated period of time during which Israel neglected God and chased after foreign gods. Okay? They lose the battle to the Philistines. The Ark of the Covenant is captured and taken away. And in this time of despair, they do what many of us have done, and that is, we turn our back on the Lord our God. Right? Right? They brought the Ark of the Covenant out to the battlefield, right, with the hope and belief that with the presence of God, it would ensure victory. But it did not. Right? They not only lost, but they had a great slaughter. The great artifact, the Ark of the Covenant, is gone, and the people of Israel fell into a state of despair. And as we'll read next, not only did they fall into a state of despair, they began to worship the gods of the Canaanites. All right? So verse 3 says, "Samuel spoke to the house of Israel, saying, 'If you will return to the Lord with all your hearts and put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroths from among you and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only, he will deliver you from the hands of the Philistines.'" Right? Verse 4, "So the children of Israel heeded the words of Samuel, and they put away the Baals, and they put away the Ashtaroths, and they began to serve the Lord only." So after this 20-year period, we see here, now that Israel, they repent and return to the Lord their God. And their repentance for them, similar as repentance for us, requires the putting away of Baals and Ashtaroths, right? It's not enough to say you're going to serve. You can't serve God and your other gods simultaneously. Are you with me? We know from the Exodus, from the giving of the Ten Commandments, that God starts out by telling them what? "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Right? God is not willing to be shared with another. Okay? And that's why, and when it comes to repentance, it requires the putting away, right, or the turning of our back to what? Those other gods. right? God is not willing to double date. God isn't willing to be in a relationship with you and other gods. Are you with me on that? Okay? That's important because we live in a day and a time now where everybody wants to double date. Right? Everybody wants to have their cake and what? Eat it too. Right? It used to be like, oh, when you heard that, that was a shock. Like, what? Now it's what? Commonplace. Right? People accept it now. That's just what. But I'm trying to help you in your religious and spiritual development to not allow that mindset creep in and think that God now agrees with that format. Right? He doesn't. Samuel said, if you will repent and put away your other God and serve God only, then he will deliver you. Okay? Are you with me? The Baals and the Ashtaroths were the supreme gods of the Canaanite deities. Of all the Canaanite deities, they were the top two. The Ashtaroth represented the female goddess, while Baal represented the male sky god who fertilized the lands of Canaan. Okay? So again, the highest gods in their worship. So God said, you got to put that away. So verse 5, Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered together at Mizpah. They drew water and poured it out before the Lord, and they fasted that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord, and Samuel judged Israel at Mizpah. So when we repent, it not only requires us to put away the other gods, right, and to turn our back on that style of living, but it also requires us to acknowledge that we have sinned. Watch out for folks who don't want to admit to anything. Well, whatever, let's just keep going. No, no. You owe me an apology. Well, no, no, whatever. You know how. No, no, no. You have to acknowledge, right, that you have sinned. And I'm telling you, nowadays, folks will let that go. They're like, well, whatever, he took me out to dinner, so we just, well, that's not, no, no, no. There's got to be some acknowledgement, some recognition that there has been a misdeed here, right? Well, there's got to be some acknowledgement that some damage has been caused. Are you following what I'm saying? And so it wasn't enough for them just to say, yep, we'll put away the bells. Yep, we'll go back to serving God. No, Samuel said, no, you got to do better than that. You have to acknowledge that you have sinned against God. Are you with me on that? I believe that's what hinders so many people today from accepting Christ as their Savior. They do want Him. They do desire to believe in Him, but they're having a hard time acknowledging that they have sinned, right? They just want to, well, let's just pick up from here and go. But no, you've got to acknowledge what you've done. The symbol of Samuel pouring out water and the acknowledgement of the people revealed a situation where true repentance had taken place. The condition of the heart supersedes the importance of the ritual that had taken place. Are you following what I'm saying? So my question to the church today is this. What is the condition of your heart? Right? I got to ask that because many people are going through the ritual of what? Going to church on the Sunday before Christmas. Many people are going to go through the ritual of attending church on Christmas Eve, right? Many people are going to go through the rituals that are associated with this time of year and give gifts and exchange cards. but none of them are answering the question, what is the condition of your heart? Is there any acknowledgement by you that you have offended God? Right? Is there any acknowledgement by you that, yes, I must put away my other gods that I serve. I must put away my other habits, my other hobbies that are not God honoring, and now turn my face to God so that when I come into the new year, without holidays and without celebration, I will always make my way to the house of God without any special occasion or any situation that requires extra effort, decorate, or it doesn't matter. David said this. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to, it wasn't Christmas time. It wasn't Thanksgiving time. It wasn't eating. David said, I was just glad. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. So here we are, verse 7, verse 8, we're in the home stretch. When the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. So that when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And so the Philistines said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. Now, I want you to step back and see the picture here. After 20 years, they finally acknowledge what they have done wrong. And they finally come to Samuel, who is not only their judge, their prophet, but also their priest. They come to Samuel and they say, we need to make an amends with God. And that's what it means when it says Samuel judged Israel. Samuel gave to them the judgment of God. So if that's what you want to do, then this is required. One, put away your gods. All these foreign gods that you now have in your home and in your kitchen and in your car, to get rid of all that stuff. Purge yourself. Get rid of it. Then they said after that, he said, I want you to meet me at Mizpah. Everybody, every man, every woman, every Hebrew person, meet me at Mizpah. And there we are going to offer sacrifice. Right. It is there that we're going to pour out water. Right. And acknowledge our sins before God. Right. And so here all of Israel is gathering themselves. They're coming from every corner that where they've been dispersed. And they're coming to meet Samuel at Mizpah because as a people, as a nation, they want to repent and set things right between themselves and God. And so they're there. The people of the children of Israel are there, and Samuel, the prophet of God, is there, and they're performing this religious ritual. And while they're performing this ritual, word gets out and gets to the Philistines that all of Israel is now gathered at Mizpah. So the Philistines react to it, say, if they're all gathered there, and especially all of the men are there, it must be a sign that they are preparing for war. So the Philistine says, well, we don't want to be caught off guard, right? We don't want them to attack us, and we're not prepared. So if they're going to get ready for battle, then what? So are we. Right? Now the reality is Israel has come to Mizpah in order to repent and set their relationship right with God. Right? So that's their intent is that, not to battle with the Philistines. But while they're there with the Philistines, the enemy gets word of it and what? Sets out to hinder them. Right? Just, now again, I want you to see the bigger picture. How many times have we set our attention or our focus on getting our relationship with God in order. Making it, you know what I'm going to do this year? This is my New Year's resolution. I'm going to make my relationship with God my priority. I've done enough doing it my way. I have enough doing it other people's way. Other people telling me how to live, when to live, where to live. This year, I am making God the priority. I'm getting my relationship right. I'm getting my, I'm going to repent and acknowledge that I've done wrong and that I've turned my back on God. I'm getting rid of all this other stuff. I'm getting rid of all of this liquor and all this other nonsense I've got in my, and I'm going to purify myself and I'm going to make my relationship with God my priority. How many have ever made that resolution? Right? Some of y'all need to have your foot up. Like, yeah, I did it in 208, 9, 10. I took 11 off when I came back in 12, 13. Right? We all have been to that place, right? But this is the thing I want you to recall is not your desire to set your relationship right. But every time you make that kind of commitment, it seems as though the devil also makes the same commitment. Not to get his relationship right with God, but to make sure he ruins. Are you with me? If you're with me, say, I know what you're talking about, Pastor. Because every time I make that commitment, whether it's the beginning of the new year, if it's in the middle of the year or the end of another year, every time I make up my mind, I am going to get my house, get my life in order, it seems like the devil comes harder attacking me. And that's what Israel finds. They weren't coming there to battle against the Philistines. They were coming there to get their relationship right with God, to repent, to get rid of the Baal, and to now start following after God. But yet, as they set their heart to do good, the Bible says, when I desire to do good, what? Evil's always present. I'm set to do the right thing. Go in the right direction. Live right. Do right. Talk right. And in spite of my commitment to do better, evil is always present. Are you with me on that? So here it is. Verse 9. So Samuel took a suckling lamb. And he offered it as a burnt offering to the Lord. And then Samuel cried out for the Lord of Israel. And the Lord answered him. Right? Samuel took a lamb. And he offered it as a burnt offering. And he cried out to the Lord for Israel's sake. And the text said, the Lord answered him. Right? Now this, I'm giving this, you gotta get this, because this is gonna be your situation in the new year. Because many of you are going to do, again, what I've just spoken about. It's a new year. I got a new attitude. Who sang that song, I Got a New Attitude? Why didn't I know that? Patti LaBelle film. Got a new attitude. I got a new direction. I got a new focus. It's 2026. Many of you are going to make that. Many of you are going to prioritize your relationship with God. To that I commend you. It is the most worthwhile exercise any of us can do. The Bible says this, seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? Not second, not third. But if you make him first, it says that all of these other things will be added unto you. And so you're going to make the commitment. But as you make your commitment to serve the Lord, the enemy is going to make his commitment to hinder what you set out to do. Right? And so, right out the gate, right? I mean, as soon as the whistle goes off, you're going to be in what? Confrontation. While you're trying to serve God, the enemy is trying to cross-check you and knock you off course. With everything that you set your heart to do for the Lord, you're always going to find an obstacle. Why? Why? Because the Philistines, right, are coming to attack you. But then, this is why I want you to get this. Verse 9, this is your sermon. You got to get this. He says, he offers the burnt offering. Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Right? So we got it on, we got the witness, we got the record. The Lord answered him. Right? Even though God answered Samuel, the situation in the plight of Israel, what? Did not change. Just over the hill was still what? The Philistines. Right? Still down in Kiriath-Jearim was what? The ark. But yet the witness said that the Lord answered him. Anybody see where I'm going with this? In this new year, it's going to require the kind of faith, not the kind of faith, it's going to require faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for with what? With no evidence. I got no proof. The only thing that I have, that I am going to have the victory in this commitment to this new year to set my relationship with God, and the only thing I have is the Word of God. Outside of that, I don't have any other evidence. If I was in debt at the end of 25, guess what I'm going to be in at the beginning of 26? Still in debt. If my body was unhealthy at the end of this year, guess what my body is going to be at the beginning of next year? Still unhealthy. And for some of us, it may even be what? Worse. Are you following what I'm saying? So the question I asked you earlier, what condition is your heart in? Now here's the second question, right? Three questions in every sermon. The second question is, what condition is your faith? Do you have the kind of faith that when you get a word from the Lord, that you have the kind of faith to believe it under any circumstance? The question is, do you have the kind of faith to believe God in spite of the lack of evidence that God has already answered your prayer? Are you with me this Sunday, Taylor? Look at somebody and ask them, what kind of faith do you have? Because the Bible says without faith, it is impossible, right? Without faith, you can't keep your commitment to making God a priority. And what I'm giving you today is all you're going to have in the new year. That if you commit your way unto the Lord and acknowledge Him, He shall direct your path. And if you want to find your way back to God, make the commitment this Christmas that I'm going to make my relationship with God a priority in spite of the lack of evidence, in spite of a change in situations, in spite of a change in my circumstances. I'm going to believe God more than what the evidence shows, because the Bible said Samuel prayed and the Lord answered him. Look at somebody and tell them, the Lord answered my prayer. Yeah, I still don't have what I want, but in my spirit, I feel like God has answered my prayer. Raise your hand if you feel like God has answered your prayer. Even while I'm preaching, yeah, something about this message, something about this sermon is sticking with me. It's working on me. What God is trying to do is let you know that if you're serious about God, God will also be serious about you, and whatever you ask
In Jesus' name, he will. God will answer. He'll answer you. Somebody shout yes. Here it is. I'm finished. Got a little too excited too early. Here it is. So he does the burnt offering. Verse 10 says, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome by Israel. Right? The Israel has come. They've repented. Going to make their relationship with God a priority. And now here comes the enemy attacking them at a time of worship. So they go to the man of God, cry out for us. And Samuel reports back, the Lord has answered your prayer. And right on the sound of that, now here come the Philistines. Right? They already have the promise of victory. They just don't have the victory. But look at somebody and tell them, here comes the victory. And so, the Philistines come. And as they come to engage in war against Israel, the Bible says the Lord thundered on the Philistines. And I love this because God uses nature to defeat Israel's enemy, right? He doesn't use anything that Israel has in its hand to get the victory. Are you with me? Look at somebody and tell them it's not in your hand. For some of you, that's a hard thing. It's a hard thing because you work with your hands. You're the type of person, everything you have, everything you own, you've gotten by the work of what? Your own hand. But now you've made up your mind to make God a priority. And you say, well, wait a minute, this is difficult for me because I'm used to working with my hands and getting what I need. I'm used to working with my hands and providing for my family. But now God gets back involved in my life, and God said, it's not going to happen through your hands, right? Look at somebody and tell them it's not in your hands. God's going to do it, but he's only able to do it, watch this, if you take your hands off of it. Now, why the whole church isn't yelling, shouting, and screaming, Rob, I don't know. But Rob, this is my guess. My guess is that you didn't react better to what the Word of God said because you still want to keep your hands on it. You still want to be involved in the solution. But my message to my church this Sunday morning is you got to take your hands off it. Look at somebody and just tell them, take your hands off it. That's not going to work. That's not going to fix it. If it was, you wouldn't be in the mess you're in. But God told me to tell you, take your hands, get off of it, get your hands off of it, stop trying to figure it out, leave it alone, let God. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do this year. This year I'm going to take my hands off it, right? I'm not even going to fool with it. I done spent too much time too much energy, too much effort, and I'm still nowhere. What kind of faith do you have? Do you have the kind of faith that will allow you to take your hand I'm going to take my hands off. Because when I take my hands off, it allows God to put his hands on. Are you with me? If you don't get anything else out of this sermon, you got to get that. You've got to take this new year. Make up your mind. I'm taking my hands off it. That means I'm going to stop worrying about it. I'm going to stop calling people and telling them about it. Why my hands off? Taking my hands off. Mother Rack, I'm taking my hands off. And all of the time and energy I was putting into trying to keep my hands on it. And by keeping your hands, I mean you trying to fix it. You trying to work it out. You trying to manipulate people and circumstances and situations for it to work out in your favor. Take all of that energy and wasted time and put it into developing your relationship with God. And I'm going to help you. Here's one thing I want you to do as you reprioritize your relationship. I want you to ask God, this is a simple prayer. Say, Lord, help me to keep my hands off. I'm telling you, add it to your daily devotion. Instead of asking God to help you manipulate the situation, say, God, that's my request. Starting the new year's out. Because to keep your hands off, listen, requires faith. As long as your hands are on, your faith is in you. You pray that, I turned it over to the Lord, but you still got your hands on it. Well, I turned that over to the Lord. I just said, no, but your hands are still on it. It takes more faith to remove your hands than it does to have faith with your hands on. And the reason God wants you to remove your hands, because if God gives you the breakthrough you want with your hands on, you will take God's glory. Instead of you saying no, God turned it around. We have a tendency to say no. I turned it around. I called somebody I knew. I did something I knew how to do. And that's what brought about the deliverance. But what I'm trying to get you ready. We're going to go into a new year. Ask God just a simple prayer. Lord, help me to take my hands off it. Because when I take my hands off, that opens the door for God to put his hands on. And when God puts his hands on it, are you hearing what I'm saying? That's when things change. That's when deliverance comes, right? The moment they went to, they said, Samuel, thank you for praying for our repentance. Because we needed someone to restore us back to God. And just so you get the global picture,
what Samson is to Israel, really a high priest, is what Christ is for us. He's the high priest. He's the only one authorized and qualified to what? Restore our relationship with God. He's the only one, right? You can't, I can't only, right? And so what Samuel was to Israel, so Christ is for us, right? He's our high priest, right? And he's the only what? Mediator between God and man. He's the only one that can help you keep your commitment of prioritizing God, right? So you're prioritizing God, making him my priority in the new year. Now, God wants to encourage your faith in the new year. Because God said, if you can just take your hands off, give him to me, give it to me, give her to me, give them to me, trust them in my hand. Just put them in. Let me show you what I can do if you put them in my hands. All right? You got it? If you got it, say I got it. All right, I got to go. I got to go. I'm way over time. We got Angel Tree. We got Community Day. Here it is. So the men of Israel, so he does that, and God thunders and confuses them that they were, oh, I love the word of God. Listen, verse 10, Samuel was offering up a burnt offering. The Philistines drew near in battle array. Look what it says. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder and so confused them that they were overcome by Israel. Get this. This is important. You got to hear this because it's going to help you receive the blessing in the new year. Because when you take your hands off, allow God to put his hands on, what's going to happen to people looking at the situation is that they're going to become confused. Now, for the last 2.5 years, you've been calling me every week, telling me what you've been doing with your hands. And for the last 2.5 years, the situation has gone from bad to worse. So I call you on New Year's Eve and you tell me there's something, Pastor preached something about keeping my hands off the burn off. And I don't know, you done messed up the whole sermon. But the point is, the point was, I'm taking my hands off it. And then I'm going to let God do it. Right? And so they're like, okay, let God do it. And now as they watch, you keep your hands off. And that you prioritize your relationship with God. They notice that the situation begins to self-correct itself. All right, let me say it in a way, hopefully you get it before. They notice the situation starts getting better with your hands off of it. Now, they don't know how much you got to pray to keep your hands off because you're smart. You didn't tell them that. But you know, I'm praying, Lord. And I'm not praying for, I'm praying, Lord, keep my hands, right? So here, some of you might have to pray this. Lord, keep my mouth. That may be your prayer. Somebody, you're talking too much, right? And I tell you, whenever you talk, God does what? God keeps quiet, right? Some of you got to keep your hands off. Some of you are going to have to keep your mouth shut. You're going to have to keep your comments to yourself, right? And you're going to have to allow God to speak into it. You follow what I'm saying? But whatever you got to do, do it. What I'm trying to point out now is that the more you stay out of it and allow God to get into it, it's going to confuse your enemy.
The enemy wants you to get involved. So every time you make a move, he does what? He makes a counter move. Right? But what does the enemy do when you stop moving? What does the enemy do when you stop worrying about it? The enemy gets what? Confused. As long as she kept going to the doctor, I could get involved. I can get involved with the doctors. I can get involved with the medical staff. Uh-oh, it looked like it's working out. I got it. This is how I'm going to get them. I'll get involved with the insurance. I'll let them see there is a cure, but your insurance. I wish I had a real church, John. A real church. Somebody in my real church know what I'm talking about. Yeah. There is a medicine. There is a solution for your baby. But I just checked your insurance. And your insurance don't pay for it. And if you can just resist the temptation to get involved and just say, nope, I repented of all of that. And I said, this year I'm going to keep my hands off of it. If I don't have the insurance, then I don't have the insurance. If I don't have the coverage, then I just don't have the coverage. It simply means God is going to have to make up the difference. Why? Because my hands are what? This year my hands are off. I'm not calling another doctor. I'm not waiting for another open period to change insurance. Doesn't matter because the cost of insurance now, I can't afford it. Anyway. I wish I had a real church. So Rob, this year, Rob, I'm taking my hands off. And this is what I'm trying to tell you. If you can do that, it's going to open the door to allow God to start moving. And when God starts moving, it's going to confuse your enemy. Here's the real punchline. It's also going to confuse you. Why? Because you're so used to being involved. You're so used to having your hands on. You're so used to speaking in. I'm trying to help you. It's not enough to take your hands off. But you've got to keep your cool when God starts working. Because it's not only going to confuse your enemy, it's going to confuse you. And the temptation is this, to put your hands back on. You hear me? I'm telling you in advance. Don't get there. I'm telling you in advance. Take your hands off. And as God starts working it out, resist the temptation to put your hands back on. You got it? If you got it, say, I got it. Look at somebody and say, keep your hands off. I know it's confusing. I know you want to get back involved, but don't. Right? Here it is. Let me finish. Here it is. And after that, it says, the men of Israel went out to Mizpah, and they pursued the Philistines and drove them as far back as Bethcar. Here it is. I'm going to stop here. I'm not going anymore. Here's the sermon right here. Verse 12. Here it is. I told you. Anybody remember the subject? Ebenezer is not a Scrooge. Here we go. And so Samuel took a stone and he set it up between Mizpah and Shen, somewhere in the middle ground. And he called its name Ebenezer, saying, thus far, the Lord has helped us. Are you guys with me? If you got it, say, I got it. Tell him Ebenezer is not a Scrooge. Then Samuel took a stone and he called its name Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. This expression means the Lord was the one responsible for getting Israel to this point. He was Israel's sovereign one, both in time of faithfulness and rebellion. The rebellion, what? The 20 years you served other gods. He remained faithful to you. So 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to our God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Look at somebody and just tell them we have the victory. We have the victory because God has already answered our prayer. But I don't see it yet. Look at somebody and tell them we have the victory. I'm not even into the new year yet. I don't know what the new situation is going to be yet. But in spite of the yet, I believe that we have the victory. I believe it because I put away my old gods. I believe it. I put away Baal. I put away Asherah. I put away my liquor, my drugs, my everything. And I decided to make Jesus my choice. I don't know why I feel this way, but I feel like giving God the praise. He has answered all of my prayers. Somebody give the Lord a praise. Right now. Right now. Right now. I'm at Ebenezer. This Christmas, Ebenezer is not, he's not a Scrooge. Woo! I dare you to praise God. I dare you, Taylor. I double dare you. His name is Ebenezer, but he's not a, woo! Help me, Jesus. Yes, I got the victory. I got it. Touch somebody, tell them I got it, I got it, I, woo! Yes, yes, God is turning it around. Yes, yes, I don't have anything under my tree, but I got a feeling that Ebenezer is not a... Woo! I got to get out of this. I got to get out of this. Yes. We have the victory. By Jesus Christ, our Lord. Somebody give the Lord a praise. Woo. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm coming out of this. Yes, I'm making God a priority. Yes, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my faults. I will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we shall. Yes. Yeah, this Christmas. Woo! Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I made it to Christmas time. This Christmas, I found out that Ebenezer is not a... Woo! I got to get out of this. Yes. Yes. This Christmas. Better than last Christmas. Better than next year's Christmas. Because this Christmas, the Lord has helped me. Yes, Lord. Thank you for your help. This Christmas, I finally took my hands off. Woo! Yeah, I gotta quit. I gotta get out of this. Yes. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm taking my hands off it. I'm leaving it alone. I'm gonna let God. Have his way. I'm out of it. My hands are off it. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. Woo! Yeah, I'm getting my praise back. This Christmas, I want to get my joy back. Yes, this Christmas. Yes, I'm getting my peace back, joy back, happiness back. Yes, because I finally took my hands off it, and I'm going to let God have his way. Give the Lord a praise right now. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. In spite of what you hear throughout the Christmas holiday season, I want you to tell the devil, Ebenezer is not a Scrooge. No, when I say Ebenezer, I mean that the Lord has helped me thus far. And here's the challenge question. If the Lord has helped you this far, what do you think he's going to do in the days, weeks, months, and years ahead. Somebody in the church shout, Ebenezer! Go for it! Go, 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 go! Yes! He's brought me thus far! Yes! He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's how I got here. The Lord brought me. Took me 20 years to finally take my hands off him. But I'm glad. I'm so glad I came to church today. Take your hands off it. That's all I can tell you. Leave it alone. Let God deal with it. Fellas, let me have it. All I can tell you is to take your hands off of it. That's the whole sermon. Because it's only when you take your hands off that you'll realize Ebenezer is not a Scrooge. Many of us who walk away from our relationship with God, we do it because we believe he's a Scrooge. The devil has so beaten us down. The devil has so worn us out that we change our opinion about our God. And I believe that's why the Holy Spirit fixed it for you to be here. Because God's got something to prove to you. I know some of you are here and you've already suffered loss. You already suffered death, setback, pain. And you're here full of discouragement. That's why God sent you here. To hear this message. Because you believe God is a Scrooge. Just like Ebenezer and the Christmas Carol, so God has been in your life. And I'm not doubting it. I'm not disputing it. I'm not coming at you. That's the way you feel. That's the way you feel. We are all entitled to our own feelings. But this is the way God feels towards you. The Bible says he has loved us with an everlasting love. God said it's Christmas time. Just allow me to show. Give me one more chance. And let me prove how much I love you. He said, all you have to do, whatever it is, whoever it is, wherever it is. God said, just take your hands off it. God said, don't even pray about it. When the last time you ever heard your pastor tell you that? Don't even pray about it. I told you what he wants you to pray about. Pray about, Lord, give me the faith to keep my hands off. Now, this I'm going to give to you because I am your pastor. I'm going to give you this because I am your pastor. Once you take your hands off, you have to find something else to do with your hands. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody got babies running around the house? They got it because the hands are busy. If you don't want them on this, you got to give them something else to put in their hands. And God said, use your hands to worship me. That's how you keep your hands on. Instead of letting them be idle and run back to familiar things, why not lift your hands up? Why not clap your hands in the sanctuary? God said, I'm going to give you something else to do with your hands. So you're just not sitting around all day worrying about what you can't put your hands on anymore. God told me to tell you, if you do it, just like he told Samuel, I've already answered your prayer. So many of you, without even uttering a word out of your mouth, the Bible says this, he knows our thoughts far off. He's already looked at your heart. He already knows what's worrying you. So you don't have to pray it. God said, I already know. What I want to know now is, do you know what I need you to do? Take your hands off. Take your hands off. So what I want to do, I got to get out of this sermon. So much more to do today. Angel Tree, Community Day, so much more to do. But this is what I want to do. If you're here this Sunday, and you've heard the message. I got it, Pastor. I heard it. And something about this message resonates inside of you. So, Pastor, not only did I hear it, Deanne, I get it. I get it because I feel the Holy Spirit speaking to me. Hardest thing you'll ever do is take your hands off. But if you would like help, come. Come and I'm going to pray. I'm not going to pray for your situation. I'm not going to ask you to tell me what it is. I'm not going to, no. That's not my job today. My job is to join my faith with your faith. The Bible says two is good, but a three band rope will never be broken. If me, you, and the Holy Spirit come into agreement that God give you the strength, that's what it's going to take. That's why I said I want to know the condition of your faith. Because it's going to take faith to keep your hands off of it. You've had your hands on so long. The only thing you know is to keep your hands on it. So it's a challenge. If you're here this Sunday, that's the prayer. That's why I want to pray with you about it. And I'm not praying that God fix it. I'm not praying that God deliver it. I'm not praying God give you a breakthrough. I'm not praying. If you want all of that, go to the church down the street. What I'm praying for this Sunday is your hands. That's what God wants. He wants your hands. That's what God wants. Will you give me your hands? God said, if you just put your hand in my hand, He said, I'll prove to you I'm not a Scrooge. And I know you believe that. I know you feel that way. But I'm not. God said, give me a chance. This Christmas, allow God to do what you want Him to do anyway. So if you're here, take the step of faith. Come on. Come on. Come on. Don't. We done played hard to get all year long. Come on. It's the last Sunday. Come on. Come get what God has for you. Stop playing hard to get. Stop playing cute. Stop acting like you got it all together. Stop acting like everything's perfect. Everything's all right. Everything. No. This Sunday. I don't care if you don't come back up, but this Sunday, I'm going to prioritize my relationship with God. That's the prayer I'm praying. If you want something else, need something else, I'm not your pastor this Sunday. I'm praying for people who have a problem with their hands. Their hands find their way to mischief more than they do the mission. And I'm here to tell you, God is going to judge you today. What does that mean? What do you mean, Pat? God's going to see if your heart is pure. I can't see that. All I know is they came up, so I guess they want something, need something. No. God said, I look past all of that. God says, I look into the heart of man. That's why He forgave Israel. Not because they poured out water. Not because they offered a burnt offering. But God looked into their heart and saw that they would finally take their hands off it. Just as easy as they put away the bells, they could have what? Brought them right back. What hands? God said, I'm going to give you something else for your hands. This Sunday, I'm going to give you something else for your hands. Thank God for Jesus. Ministers and deacons, pray everywhere. I feel a mighty move of God. It's going to move in your hands. It's the way you're going to do it. Mighty woman of God, with your hands lifted up, God said, I'm going to do so much more through your hands. But the strange thing, Deanna, He's going to do it with your hands off. So that's why I'm praying for your hands. Because you're used to putting your hands on. That's how you diagnose the situation. That's how you administer. You do it with your hands. But God said, now, you got to trust me. You got to trust me. So take your hands off it. So take your hands off it. So I'm praying for your faith. That your faith fail thee not. That's what He told me to tell you. If you keep your hands off, God's going to do more
with your hands off than you could ever do with your hands on. Today, Lord, give her a double portion of her faith. Anoint her from the crown of her head. Down to the sole of her feet. That's Zion travailing in you. That's deep calling on the deep. That's God calling you. Mighty man of God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God said, I want you to exchange hands. God said, give me your hands. And he said, I'm going to give you mine. He said, my hands have nail prints in them. My hands have blood on them, scars, they're damaged. But God said he's going to use his hands. Josh, and he told me the first place he's going to use his hands are on you. God said, I'm going to do a new work in your life. Josh, you have a heart for God. You always have. He's calling you now. He's calling you now. Lift your hands up. Lift your hands unto God. He's going to do something. Strong hands, powerful hands, man hands. But what God told me, you don't need man hands. You need God's hands. He's willing to give them to you. But you got to give him your hands. Make the exchange. Mighty man of God. I love your heart for God. I love it. I love it. Mighty woman of God. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Jesus' name. Here she is, Lord. In spite of all that has been said against her, here she is. You made a way. Now that she's come, not just to the church, but down the aisle, all these people looking at me and talking about me. God, what do you want from me? It says today, if you give Christ your life today, if you accept him as your personal Savior, he told me to tell you the hand of the Lord be upon you now. My hand is only symbolic of his hand. And God said, whatever it is, God said, these hands, yep, these hands, yep. I'm going to do it. It's going to be these hands. But these hands are now going to have the power of God's hands. Watch this. Not to heal, not to help, not to fix. You're going to need the power of God to keep your hands off it. Just, that's your prayer. There it is. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you. He always answers. This is your assignment. That's your assignment. Just keep your hands up. The Bible said of Moses, as long as they kept his hands. That's your testimony. There it is. Somebody give her that scripture. Find that and give it to her. That's God's promise. God said, I'm going to keep your hands lifted up. You're not going to fight. You're not going down in the battle. You're not. God's going to say, I'm going to keep you up. My whole assignment for you. Just keep your hands up.
When your hands get weak, call on God. God, my hands are getting weak. I'm getting tired. God said, I'm going to send help. And that help is going to come for one purpose. They're just going to keep your hands up. As long as you keep your hands up, God said, I'm going to give you the victory. You, your family, your friend, anything you put, God's doing it. That's your prayer. That's it. Keep your hands up. Make sure you guys get her that scripture. She needs that. That's God's promise. Mighty woman of God. Daughter of Eve. Offspring of Sarah. The holy women of God. You know that's what you are? A holy woman under God. That's what he's trying to get you to understand. You're not that woman. You're not this woman. You're not the other woman. God said, that's what you are to me. A holy woman unto God. And he's given you a spiritual womb. That's what you have. We know about your natural womb. We know about your sons. We know about God said, I gave you a spiritual womb to birth. That's just going to happen through you. But it's only going to happen if you keep your hands off. Got to let God do it. The challenge was for Mary, how do I explain that I've never been with a man? But yet my stomach's way out here. How do you explain it? You just keep your hand. That's all you can do. All Mary could do is just keep her hands off it and just let God do it. Just that's where God works. The deep place. Just keep your hands up. I'm going to stay out of it. Joseph, I don't know. Mom, Dad, I don't know. All I can tell you, all I can do is just keep my hands off it. Said the Spirit of the Lord will overcome you. That's what he's doing in your life, Cassie. Let the Spirit of the Lord. Mighty man of God. Spirit of the Lord God be upon you now. God's going to bless your hands, Bryce. God is going to bless your mind. Give him wisdom from on high. Said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Bryce, but here's the thing. The wisdom that God gives, the world does not understand. So when I pray and ask God to give you wisdom, God's going to give you wisdom. My challenge for you as a young person, don't look at the other young people around you. They're not going to have what you have. He's given you godly wisdom. And it's going to manifest itself in your hands. So your hands are holy. And Bryce, the challenge for you, and as I preached all month, last month, all that, challenge for every young man and every young girl is to keep your hands clean. That's the challenge. And you're going to be able to do it, Bryce. Why? Because the Lord is with you. He's consecrated you with oil. That means you have been set aside for his purpose. And if you just trust him, Bryce, just like he told Samuel, I've already answered your prayer. So whatever you want to do, wherever you want to go, the Lord is with you.
And all you have to do is believe it. All you got to do. And he's going to let you have it. He's going to let you have it. Not because you're good, not because you're great. He's going to let you have it. Why? Because you're going to prove, starting today, Lord, I'm going to keep my hands clean. That's my job. That's your job, Bryce. Keep your hands clean. Don't do what everyone else is doing. The moment you do it, you soil your hands. Don't do it. Make a vow to God today. Today, Bryce. So I make a vow to God. Today, I'm going to wash my hands. Every time they went into the sea, they had to wash their hands. Oh, that's all you see. Every time you turn around, they washing their hands. Washing their hands. Putting new oil on. Why? Because they were holy under God. That's your job, Bryce. And I know it's not easy being young. I know it's not easy being a young guy. And I know it. I get it. That's why Jesus is praying for you. You have the hardest job of anyone in here. To be 17 and keep your hands clean. The Lord's going to help you, Bryce. Just let him do it. Just let him do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Keep your hands off it. Sister Tina, if you can just resist the temptation. Put your hands on. God has told me to tell you. He said, I'll put my hands. I'll replace your hands. Take your hands off. God said, I'm going to put my hands on. And this is what I like. I hear him telling me about you. It's less about his hands on your problems. But it's more about his hands on you. He's going to do a new work in you. Let him do it. Even as the potter was marred in his hand, he created it again, another. The Lord wants to work on you. He wants to work in you, on you, through you, for you. Why? Because he's heard your prayer. That's my message for you. He heard you. Your prayer is sitting on his desk right now. Today, the Lord answers your prayer. Only believe. Only believe. That's all you got to do. The hand of the Lord God be upon you now. In Jesus' name. Sister Sharon. Woman of God. Here I am, Lord. Unlike the other women, I'm not young. Not in the prime of my life. I'm in a different season than many people in my church. But you're in the season that God said, I'm going to bless you now. Yeah, there you go. That's the right response. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to bless you now to prove to you that I was with you all the time. I never left, never took my hands off, never turned my back. He said, just come back to me. Make me your priority. Told me he's going to bless you. That's the season you're in. The season of blessing. That's what he's going to do. That's what he's going to do. Commit your way unto the Lord. And him only shall thou serve. He's going to do it for you. He's going to do it for you. Woman of God. Woman of God. In the name of the Father, the crucified Son, and the power of the Holy Ghost. Mighty woman of God. That's what he wants you to know. That's how he sees you. Mighty woman of God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Lord, do it. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He's answered your prayer. He's answered your prayer. In spite of what the evidence may say, in spite of what you might see, what you might know, touch, or feel, God has answered your prayer. He honors faithfulness. Yes, he does. He honors it. Today he's answered. That's what it is. That's answered prayer. That's what it is. That's between you and God. But whatever it is, he said, today you have your portion. Today. I'm so loving. The Lord has answered. Yes, Lord. He's answered it. He's fixed it. He's worked it out. God. He's answered my prayer. Didn't know if I would get to see it. Didn't know if I would get to enjoy it, experience it. But today, woo! Spirit of the living God, hallelujah, fall fresh. It's going to renew your strength. It's going to let you run and not be weary. It's going to allow you to walk and not faint. Today, the God of your salvation has answered. I'm my soul loving. He's answered my prayer. Doesn't mean the enemy won't attack. Doesn't mean you won't have opposition. But you got to know this. You've got to know this, Deaconess Wise. God has answered. He's given you your portion. So what you've desired of him. He's answered. Give her some tissue. Yeah. He's answered your prayer. He's answered your prayer. Yeah. Answered your prayer. has answered your prayer.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost.
He said, today he's in my hands. That's the word of the Lord to you, to your house today. He's in the Lord's hands. What better place? What better place to be in the hands?
Thank you, Jesus.
He said, not only is Norm in my hands, he said, so are you. You're in his hands. We used to sing that song when we were kids. He's got the whole world. But today he told me to tell you, tell your companion, you are both in God's hands. Stay there. Rest there. Find comfort there. Not in your doctors. Not in your medical team. The hand of the Lord. Because that's where you are. Now, I don't know why he has you there. But if you're there, it's there for a reason. You're there for a purpose. And it may not be what you think. Here's the word of the Lord for you and Norm. Here it is. Keep an open mind. That's what he tells me. Keep an open mind. Don't predetermine what you need God to do. Don't predetermine what time you need him to do it by. That's the word of the Lord to you. Keep an open mind. It's giving you confidence to let you know you're in his hands. That's all you need to know. You're in God's hands. Just hang out a bit. Like the young people say, chill out. Chill out. And as your pastor, I'm telling you, make sure you tell Norm, keep an open mind. It is not what you think. Hand of the Lord God be upon you now. Faithful parents, what would life be without them? So today he renews your strength. Today he encourages you. Even while you encourage others, God said, I refuse to let the fountain run dry. So today God sends fresh water. That's what he pours out. We just read it in the text. Samuel told him, said, what? Bring a fresh pot of water. Pour it out. That's what God does. That's what God does. Faithful parents. Fresh water. That's what the Lord gives you. You run this long. You've come this far. God said, I'm going to take you through. I'm going to take you through. I'm going to renew your strength. Let you run, not get weary. I'm going to let you walk and not faint. God said, I'm going to do more today than I've done in all your life. God said, watch and see. Watch and see. Woman of God. The oil of God be upon you now. Mighty woman of God. We used to sing the song, what more can he do? He's going to show you. That's the word of the Lord in your life. He's going to show you. There is more that God can do. He's going to do it. He told Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail thee not. That's what you need this season. That's what you need, faith. Not in your job, not in your family, not in your church. Definitely not in your pastor. You need faith in God. God said, if you trust me, I'm going to prove myself. Barb, he told me to tell you, it'll all be worth it. That's what he told me to tell you. If you trust him, keep your hands up and not on. God said, watch me. So I'm going to prove it. It will all be worth it. Everything you lost, everything you gave up, did without. Hand of the Lord God be upon you now. No, please pray for me, Lord.
Thank you.
I feel the presence of the Lord in this place. Thank God. Thank God. Taylor, once again, thank you for coming out. Thank you for your attentiveness to the Word of God. Thank you for your patience concerning the move of God. Be encouraged by the word. Be encouraged by your brothers and sisters who are of like precious faith. Whatever you do, do not grow weary in well doing. Because in due season you will reap if you faint not. To all of our visitors, our guests, our friends, our Angel Tree families, those that have come for Turning the Tide, we'll do better next Sunday. We won't act a fool like this. We'll show you how our mothers and grandmothers raised us right. We won't. But I'm glad you're here because I think some of you have benefited from the Word of God. I think some of you have been blessed by the presence of God. So if you're here as an Angel Tree family, and those sisters of Tia is going to take over, that's our way of just letting you know we love you. We also want to make mention that that we have boxes of produce right out here in the hallway. Again, given to us by Chosen 300 Ministries. So Taylor, I hope you would work with me. First and foremost, let them be a blessing to our Angel Tree families. After that, let them be a blessing to those who have come for Turning the Tide, who are clients there and are benefiting from the services and programs being provided. And then, Taylor, if there's anything left over, obviously feel free, but we want to be a blessing to them first. So again, for Angel Tree, in addition to the gifts and all the other nice things they have planned for you, please make sure it's right out this door, it's right out in the hallway. Take a box of fresh produce, literally just picked. Take it home and let it be a blessing to you and your family, to those that are here for Turning the Tide. Ms. Jermaine told me to tell you, make sure you get a box of fresh produce for you, for your family, and for your loved ones. Amen. And tell her, like I said, if there's anything remaining, we already were blessed last Sunday. I don't know about you guys, Jermaine and I, we still not through our whole box. We still got potatoes and carrots. I was hitting the boys over the head with the carrots. Ain't nothing better to do with it. Amen. So before we dismissed, you know how we give. You give. If you want to give cash or check, those baskets are there for you. One is for giving to the church. One is for giving to the preacher. You want to give electronically. The instructions are on the board. How that you can text Taylor 61 to the appropriate number. And they'll walk you right through it. Less than a minute, you can give whatever your heart's desire is to give to the church. Amen. Any questions on that? Anyone have a question about how to give if they would like to? The announcements, we'll be back next Sunday. We'll be back next Sunday and we'll have the announcements for the new year. Amen. Anything I'm missing? Anything I'm missing? Anything I need to do? Is Sister Zakia around? She's back there. I'm looking right at her and I still don't see her. What do you want us to do, Z? Or how do you want us to do it? Okay, good. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to stand and we're going to have this benediction. And then Taylor, I'm going to put you to work. I want to make sure we greet everybody in the house, right? Don't walk past them. No, you got something to do. You got a bus to catch. Catch the next bus. The Uber driver will wait. But I want, Taylor, that's our assignment. We're going out. Khalil's going to give us some walking around. Greet everybody. Don't let nobody get out of this place without you loving on them and hugging on them. Letting them know that God loves them.
and that this Christmas, because of Christ, will be a very special Christmas. Now unto him who alone is able. God, keep us, prepare us, and present us faultless before the Heavenly Father. Clothe us and cloak us with your righteousness. Not our own, but yours. The Holy Lamb of God. Thank you for your shed blood. Thank you for your sacrifice on Calvary's cross. Now go with us. Stand by us. Stand up strong in the life and in the heart of believers everywhere. Lord, help us to shine with the brightness of the S-O-N. Let the glory of God shine round about us. This is our prayer. We ask it in the name of the beloved Christ. And all of God's people said, amen, amen, amen. God bless you, Taylor. Greet everybody. Angel Tree, stay in the sanctuary.